And let us pray. Father, may these spoken words be faithful to the written word and lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to need some help from some of you this morning. I want you to complete these sentences. And if I don't get volunteers, I'll call on somebody. Okay, how would you complete this sentence? Revenge is... What?
A dish served cold.
I heard revenge is sweet. Okay, anything else? Well, I'll take those two. All right, how about this one? Don't get mad.
Get even.
Is there anything sweeter than getting even with someone who has wronged us? It's fun. And it feels so good. You know, we find that person and we cut them down to size with our own slanderous words. Maybe to lay on the horn when we're driving, you know, or shaking your head. And heaven forbid that any of you would flip somebody the bird on the highway when they cut you off. Or how many of you have ever done this? You're shoveling snow and your neighbor happened to put some slush in your driveway, so you happen to throw a few shovelfuls back his way. Or maybe it's the kind of revenge that lives after we are gone. Maybe it's writing the spouse or our children out of our inheritance because they treated us so poorly during our lifetime. You know, in our society today, we've certainly seen that a lot. Vengeance is very common. In fact, some of us might think it's our own constitutional right to do that. Someone disrespects us, we're going to show disrespect towards them, because that's fair. But our Lord Jesus in our gospel reading today turns that around. He turns fairness on its head, and he urges us to get even in a way that no human mind ever would have conceived. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, or the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." What does God expect of us? He's encouraging us to get even with love. In our reading today that Ken shared with us a few moments ago, he's still speaking to his disciples, our Lord Jesus, who have just heard that those who are poor and hungry and sad and hated are blessed. And those that are rich, well-fed, and happy, and popular are under God's judgment of woe. Why is that? Because Jesus knew that people in that time, and even in our societies today, they're living in a society where an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth was appropriate reaction to a personal conflict. But Jesus outlines a very different way in dealing with enemies. He says this, "I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you." Now, it is clear enough and perhaps a little alarming what Jesus is commanding: return love for hate, blessing for curses, prayers for mistreatment. If someone takes your dignity or property, let them have it and more. But many of us are skeptical at that. We tend to think that Jesus can't be serious after all. What it seems like he's supporting is lawlessness. And we see a great deal of that in our country today. There's a lot of that and chaos. That he's freeing us, or freeing the unbelievers, to do whatever they want to Christians without fear of retaliation. But it's just as important for us this morning to understand what Jesus is not saying as what he is. First of all, he is not saying that we cannot speak up for our own defense when we are wrong. After all, the Lord did that, didn't he? At his own trial before Annas, the high priest. And when one of the temple officials struck him, he didn't hit him back, but he did say, "If I said something wrong, testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?" Second of all, he's not saying that we cannot defend ourselves or our loved ones from harm. Take a closer look later today, if you have time, to the fifth commandment and how it explains all of this to us. Number three, Jesus is not encouraging lawlessness. He is not denying parents, nor teachers, nor police officers, or judges the right to exact punishment as God's representatives. And I find this one very interesting. Number four, he's not requiring us to support freeloaders by our charity. Think about that. 2 Thessalonians puts it very clearly, and many of you are familiar with this. If a man will not work, he shall not what?
Eat.
Yeah. He's telling us that personal vengeance is sinful, though. He is also telling us to love our enemies. For me, that sounds rather impossible, and it is. That kind of love is impossible for us unless it has been given to us first. And have we received that kind of love? St. Paul thinks so. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, he says this, "For while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still what? Sinners, Christ died for us." If we think there is someone in our life who deserves our vengeance rather than our love, imagine how God must have felt about each and every one of us. He created us, body and soul. He gave us our talents, the abilities, family, our possessions, but we misuse them. And many times we abuse those gifts, and we are quick to question and to doubt and to blame him when he doesn't give us what we want. While our Lord reveals himself to us, he reveals himself to us in his word and in his sacraments, and he invites us to receive those gifts of grace. But oftentimes we do despise that word. We either don't read it or we place ourselves in judgment over it. And we invent all kinds of excuses to avoid receiving those gifts. It was in the Ten Commandments that God laid out his will for our lives in every situation. But many times we do the opposite. Instead of commandments, we treat them like suggestions. We live as if we know better than God. In thought, word, and action, we have treated God as our enemy also. We despise his love. We can sometimes curse his name. We rob him of his possessions. And we incessantly ask him for more and more. And how did God get even with us? What did he do? Well, he sent his son. He sent his son to save us. And he allowed humanity to do the worst things to his son, to curse him, to slap him, whip him, spit on him, parade him through the streets of Jerusalem, strip him naked, and finally nailed him to a cross. And then they sat back with smug satisfaction as he died in front of their own eyes. And how did our Lord respond to that? Father, forgive them. If you ever wonder how God should have treated us, take a look at that cross in front of our church. That is what we deserve. But if you ever wondered how God has treated us, I want you also to look at that cross. And there you will see the Son hanging there in our place, suffering for our lovelessness, dying for the times that we took vengeance in our own hands. And that is how God got even with us. We know that. We believe it. We confess it, right? Then why is it so hard for us to love our enemies? We're so quick to suggest that Jesus can't actually mean what he says. The biggest reason is, though, that because we're looking at the wrong direction. Instead of looking at what our God has done for us, we're looking at and judging whether an individual deserves our love or not. It's real simple. They don't. But we don't either. And the fact that God has given us love that we don't deserve is only reason that we can return that love for others. Yes, we question. There are questions that pop up in our minds. Why should I love my enemies? It's not because they deserve it, but it's because God has loved us. The way that the world is to do good to our friends and to our evil enemies, Jesus says, this is how it is going to be with my disciples. If you want to get even with your enemy, you are going to break all of society's rules. You're going to be different. You're going to love your enemies. You're going to do good for them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And that marks us as children of God, of the Most High God, who is kind and merciful, even to the ungrateful and the wicked. Now, if you really, really, really want to get even with an enemy, really cut them down, really break them, then show them kindness when they don't deserve it. Treat them the way that God has treated you. And maybe, just maybe, that kindness will lead them to repent of their sins and seek God's forgiveness. And then you will truly get even. You will be reconciled to each other and to God by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then Jesus speaks these final words in our gospel reading today. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, will be measured back to you. I want you to imagine now Halloween time and a trick-or-treater showing up at the house of a grumpy old man, expecting the best one or two of those gross black and orange wrapped candies that people hand out, and at worst, a stern warning to get off of his porch and never come back. But instead, he brings out a huge bowl full of not fun size candy bars, but the giant size. And he gives that whole bowl in your bag. And when your bag is full, he says, shake it around a little more, because I have some more to pour in. Well, when we look at all that God has given to us, both materially and spiritually. We can't deny that God has been more than generous to us. If you ever doubt that, when you get home today, just stop for a second. Look at your refrigerator. Look at your pantry. Look in your closet, your garage. Look at your family and your spiritual blessings. They far outweigh our sinfulness and our lovelessness. His material blessings go above and beyond all of our daily needs. The love that God has for us, my dear friends, is unconditional. And that frees us to love our enemies and turn the other cheek and be generous with what he has given us, because we know that our true reward is safe in heaven. It has been purchased, it has been won by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ours and our enemies, he's their Savior too. You know, when you look at the news and see what's going on around us, that world that we live in, it's destroying itself over its thirst for vengeance. Everywhere we look, it seems like people or someone's trying to get even with someone else for something that was done or said, sometimes over things that happened a long time ago. But that is the way of the world. But that is not the way of Jesus' disciples. We are to be different because through faith in our Lord Jesus, as a dearly loved children of the Most High God, whose true reward is safe in heaven, we are different. We get even with our enemies the same way that God has gotten even with us. And that is with love. And with that, we as God's dearly loved children can say amen. And now, Lord, lead us to love the ungrateful and the evil, even as you have loved and cared for us. And God's people said, amen. Amen.